Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harford. Jumpin' James Herbert. It should be called Wimbledon because it just Wimble started.
Oh,
how about that?
You Wimble didn't.
I Wimble did.
Wimble don't, Zach.
I'm watching this Wimbledon. I gotta tell you, I got a taste for it.
You're into it?
Yeah, I like the major tennis tournaments. Also, I went to a day of, or an afternoon, or an evening, I don't know what the hell you would call it. I went to a session at a Miami tennis tournament.
Oh, really?
A couple of months ago, and it was really fun in person. I didn't even get to see anybody all that good. And it was still, like, it was something, I would go every year.
Really?
I kind of want to go up to New York for the U.S. Open.
When is that?
September-ish.
Okay.
That seems like a time.
That sounds like a doable time to, like...
Yeah,
that's like the deadest basketball time.
I don't plan on doing a lot in August and September.
That's good.
And the
don't
last
overexert yourself.
And the last 2 weeks of July.
Really?
Yeah.
The last 2 weeks of July still could be pretty busy.
Could be. I still don't plan on doing a whole lot during that time. I don't know if that's actually something I'm allowed to set for myself, but I feel like I know myself. I really don't find myself being that productive.
It's very important to be self-aware.
Yeah. No,
you gotta pace yourself throughout the demands of an NBA season. You gotta be a San Antonio Spur about it.
Right, exactly. And, I've found hundreds of Supermarket Sweep full episodes on YouTube. Those guys ain't gonna watch themselves.
Wait, there are hundreds? How many seasons?
Hundreds.
Of the show
I don't
are
know,
there?
But there, I mean, years and years and years. I found hundreds.
Well, I mean, that's the kind
of
thing where you can have like 20 something episodes in a season. It's not like they have
right,
to.
Right, easily, yeah.
Yeah.
And they probably shot them all in 2.5 days, so it's not
efficiency,
like,
man.
Yeah, and this is something where I figured I'm going to watch three a day. I'm gonna watch three a day
for the rest of your life.
For the rest of my life, I'm gonna live tweet them to have a little fun.
Hold on. Like when I think of the word live tweet, I think of something that's happening live that like other people are joining in.
Well, everyone has access to YouTube, except in China and Korea.
So are you going to recruit people to watch? Are you going to announce which episode
yeah,
you're watching
I was,
and have,
I,
like, a hashtag?
I did this yesterday. I threw out the link of the one I was watching, and then I just started tweeting it. If I say I'm going to tweet Supermarket Sweep, that doesn't make any sense. If I say I'm going to live tweet them, then that makes some sense.
You got to make it an event.
Yeah, you make it an event. And if anything, we know how much of an event my tweets can be.
Absolutely.
That was said with a lot of sarcasm. between Supermarket Sweep, tennis, and my own, what do you call it? Terrible
bad
work
movies?
Ethic. Yeah.
Oh, that. Okay.
I think I've got like 3 weeks left in me, and then, I'm just gonna do like a Ron Livingston in Office Space. I'm just gonna stop showing up to do stuff.
I look forward to that.
Hey, you know who's gonna show up on doorsteps Tuesday night?
Many different free agents, general managers. I don't know where you're going with this.
Yeah, no, I think like general managers and coaches will show up on the doorsteps of free agents.
Or at Los Angeles restaurants at like 9:01 Pacific time.
Yeah, 9:01 Pacific time. That's the way to go.
So, are you excited about this?
I like free agency quite a bit. I like the newness of it. I like the decisions that get made and the contracts that get thrown out there and stuff like that. I'm not terribly interested in the rumors of it all. I like more like the substantial, like, hey, this is happening. This guy has agreed in principle to a 5-year, $900 million deal, and we're going to, pick it apart now. Like, I like that. I like the analysis of it all, but the rumors, there can be a lot of smoke screens. And I especially think back to, like, the entire 4-month process, it seemed like. I mean, it really went into the season last year, but the whole process of the whole Eric Bledsoe, Robert Sarver thing, like...
I don't want that again with anybody.
Yeah, that's the part of it I don't like.
Well, good news. Sounds like that's not going to happen with Brandon Knight.
No, hey, look at that segue. Report that The Suns are ready to sign Brandon Knight to a 5-year, $70 million deal, and then maybe they start shopping that old Eric Bledsoe around.
So that's the same money they gave Bledsoe.
Right.
Like, exactly the same. I like Brandon Knight, and you don't trade for him if you don't plan on locking him up. Like, this is the most obvious thing in the world. But I thought they traded for him to put with Bledsoe.
I mean, that's what I thought when they were going to, you know, when they put them together. It's, all right, the two-point guard lineup of Goran Dragic and Eric Bledsoe worked, and then it wasn't working, so maybe we'll just try this new guy. This will upset my friend Charlie Widows, but he and I don't agree on Eric Bledsoe anyway all that much. I don't think it's a bad move to just up and move Bledsoe.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I sort of see the logic of, like, balancing the roster if you can trade him for, like, three or four guys.
Like, that's a lot of guys.
Or two or three guys, whatever. Like, if you get other guys that can play on the wing, because they're probably going to lose Gerald Green.
I don't think that's a loss either.
Well, sure. But I just mean they'll have playing time available.
Right.
And if you want to say Brandon Knight is our guy at the point guard and we don't want to play him at the two, I sort of get it, but it's just weird to me. I just think of where the Suns team was a year ago and how optimistic everybody kind of was about where they were going. And then they got Isaiah, and you think about it, at the time I was just like, this doesn't make sense, but he's good. And I guess that just gives them another option. They'll kind of all split the time. And then that didn't work out because I don't think anybody was really happy with that arrangement. But to then go from that to getting rid of all three of those guys potentially in a matter of months just seems crazy to me. Like, don't they want some kind of continuity at all? Are they just going to press a reset button every year? It's weird. It's not necessarily bad, I guess, but it's weird.
Well, I think the thing with that is, like, the previous season where they nearly made the playoffs, like, I don't think they expected to be that good.
They didn't.
I really don't. Like, I had, you know, I was doing the power tankings thing at the time, and they were, like, near the top of my power tankings with Philadelphia, and all of a sudden, like, 2 weeks into the season, I was like, oh, this is stupid to have them in here. Like, they're not tanking. Like, this team's really good. But I think they were. Like, I don't think they were trying to lose games, but I don't think they were putting together a roster that they thought was going to be competitive in the West. Like, it was kind of like a soft reset for them, and they got, you know, too much success right away, and then with that comes expectation the next year, and it, you know, they made a couple of questionable moves, and it didn't work out. And it doesn't mean like the Suns are all of a sudden bad and it's a bad attack, you know, a bad plan of building. I just think, like, all the, you know, out of nowhere they were this really good team that teams weren't prepared for, and then you get prepared for them, and, you know, injuries happen and guys regress or guys' role changes or whatever. And that, you know, it just, they weren't able to come back the next season and have that same success. And then you start reshuffling, you start looking at, all right, well, who do we really want around here? Well, Goran was probably going to leave in free agency, and he didn't, you know, he came out and basically got himself traded the day before.
Yes.
With his comments. Like, that was some calculated stuff by him. And so they, you know, they move him, they move Isaiah, and then you think, oh, well, it's clearly Eric Bledsoe's team. Well, apparently not. And I don't think moving him is a bad idea. I think getting three or four players is crazy. I think getting two good players, and then you can move Archie Goodwin into a more prominent role. Like, they've had depth, and that's the thing. Like, they have positional depth to where they can play around with stuff like that. But yeah, like, I think, you know, they weren't really that close this year. And by moving Goran, who's their best player,
mm-hmm.
a lot changes. And so, yeah, I think you start looking at options. And if you can get good value in return for Bledsoe, I like Knight a lot. I mean, I wasn't a huge Knight fan, but what I saw with Milwaukee last year, you know, I know it's a small sample, but I bought in. Like, I love the decision-making he had. I love the shooting. I thought he was a good defender. You know, I liked all that stuff. So, I'm not saying, like, you build around Brandon Knight, but you build with him, and if you can get good return, I like where Markieff Morris has gone on this team, and maybe they, you know, maybe they don't need to tank, but maybe they need to figure out, like, who are the young players we really want moving forward, and if Bledsoe doesn't fit into that, I don't think it's crazy.
It's not crazy. I think Bledsoe's better than Knight, Like, I don't think that's that close.
But do you trust... I mean, we're... Believe it or not, we don't have access to his medical records, but do you trust his health? I mean, that's a fair thing to question.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know if this is health, like, motivated or not. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. If it does, then that changes things. I mean, not that Knight was healthy at the end of the season either, but...
Right. But that's an ankle injury. It's not, you know...
Yeah.
Not quite the same.
I don't... Like, honestly, it doesn't bother me. The number with Knight doesn't bother me at all because the cap's going up, so I don't think that's going to look nuts.
Yeah.
It's just... I really thought they were onto something with Bledsoe. I think he's a really good player. I think more highly of him than you do, clearly. I just like him as a two-way player, and I think he, you know, he can do stuff at the end of the game that Knight, I mean, he has at times, but I'm comfortable with being like Bledsoe's sort of our franchise player. He's not going to be your only guy. And I think, you know, the plan last summer, well, it was very different because Dragic was still there, but you know, you talked about when they kind of had this surprising success, and they did. But then, if you remember, like, they sort of shifted their entire game plan. They were trying to make big moves at the deadline that year to make a playoff push that didn't
True.
End up happening.
Yeah.
And then they were trying to get meetings with, like, literally every big free agent last summer, too. They ended up getting Isaiah. But, like, they were trying to, like, meet with LeBron. Like, they were trying everything. They thought that they had... started something where they were on their way up in the West, and it did kind of feel like they had that momentum. And I'm not saying that they don't still have good pieces, but it just feels like all that momentum is gone, and the Bledsoe thing would kind of add to that, to me, depending on what they got back. If they can get, like you said, if they can get, like, two really good players, or if they could get a few pretty good pieces, maybe that ends up making them a more balanced, better team. But it just seems strange to me that you would give him that contract last summer. And then in the absence of any, you know, chemistry issues because of him or him being unhappy or whatever, which I hadn't heard any of that, in the absence of that, it seems strange to then want to move him the very next year and replace him with Knight. Because I actually honestly think they can play together and play together pretty well.
Yeah, I like the idea of Bledsoe as a shooting guard. You know, I'm not sure I totally trust his shot, but it's good enough to where... you can make the spacing work, and then he attacks well off the dribble. So I don't think he's a great playmaker for others, but if you put him as a shooting guard, he's a fine playmaker. And then the number for Knight, I mean, you just look at what players just got at the point guard position. I mean, Kemba got 448.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Knight's way better than Kemba Walker.
I think Kemba's better than probably you do. I think Kemba's pretty good, but I wouldn't say way better, but I could say Knight's better.
I guess if Kemba was even a mediocre shooter, I would feel differently about it.
I think his shooting's fine.
Fine? He's a terrible shooter.
I wouldn't say terrible. Anyway, this isn't the Kemba Walker cast.
Not yet. and then look at Rubio. Like, 4 years, 56 on his extension. Knight's better than Rubio. At least he showed to be better than Rubio last year. Like, I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah. Rubio could be better than Knight next year. We'll see. But I think Knight's a more, you know...
I think
he has less obvious weaknesses than...
Right, exactly. Yeah.
But...
I mean, you know Kemba's a 39% shooter for his career, right?
Yes, but he's taken a lot of bad shots in his career. I think that'll...
I don't know that that's...
He's played for the Charlotte Bobcats/Hornets. It's been a...
Look, I don't think he's this bad, but this is the same conversation I had about DJ Augustine when he was on the Bobcats.
Oh, man. You think he's at the level of DJ Augustine?
I just said I don't think he's that bad.
Okay.
But it does seem familiar.
All right. Anyway, Brandon Knight, $70 million.
I like it. I'm fine with the contract. I'm fine with moving Bledsoe if you get good value for him. And I don't think, like, that... I think the constant thing there should be who's the GM? McDonough? Ryan McDonough?
Yeah.
That's the guy, right?
The dude.
I always get him and Hennigan and Conley confused because I'm not that smart. But I think it should be
the new age of NBA GMs.
Yeah, I think it should be McDonough, and I think Jeff Hornacek should be the constants there, and then you figure out what. But I like the approach that he takes as a GM. I like the approach that Hornacek takes as a coach, but anything else is, it's not like, I just don't think they have anybody who you have to build around, you have to build with.
My thing is, I just don't know who the Suns are or what they're trying to do anymore. That's my problem, which could be fine, because they could make a whole bunch of awesome moves this summer. But I just, like, my reaction is like, whoa, all right, sure, because this is just not what we saw coming at all. And I think their trade deadline was really crazy. Crazy not meaning, like, ridiculous, just crazy meaning we didn't see that coming a few weeks before.
Right.
And that totally shifted the direction of the franchise. And if they're now pivoting again, it could work out, but it just kind of concerns me.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, so I guess the next biggest news of the day was Luol Deng.
Yes.
Expected to opt out. Agent says he's opting in. He's staying with Miami Heat. And now, you know, we got to figure out what's going on with Dwayne Wade. But, you know, they'll have probably the healthiest offer for Goran Dragic.
Absolutely.
Just got Justice Winslow, getting Chris Bosh back. Get to keep Deng, who didn't have a great year, but I don't think it was as bad as a lot of people thought. And they might have something with Hassan Whiteside. We don't actually know.
I think they have something with him.
I think they have a guy who puts up stats. I don't know if they have a guy who's actually good.
I guess we'll find out next year.
Yeah. I mean, that. I think we just, you got to see it more than 3.5 months with him, right?
Probably. But I feel good about it. I feel super optimistic about this Heat team. And that's why when I saw that report, I was like, yeah, if I was Luol Deng, if I could step into Luol Deng's much bigger shoes than I wear, I would do the exact same thing. I think they're going to be a really good team. And then as long as he stays healthy, like, this is really smart, because if he has a better year next year than he does this year, if they win, if they get to the playoffs and do some damage there, then he'll end up getting a huge raise because the salary cap's going to get crazy. I mean, the only reason to me that he would have opted out and signed a deal is because he was worried about his own health and he just wanted that security. But I don't think Miami is the same organization as Chicago. I think if he needs rest, that he'll actually get it. And this is the smart move.
Yeah. I wonder what the market would actually be for him, even with the money jumping up. You know, not a totally reliable shooter. Doesn't create, he's still a good defender and can be a good defender. But I do wonder what that would be for him.
I just think it'd be better then than it would be now.
Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah, especially after last year, not necessarily a huge market for him.
Yeah.
Or a buzzing market for him. But yeah, no, I mean, I think if the Heat keep this team together, and again, who knows what happens with Dwayne Wade, but I just don't. Can you really see him giving up this kind of money?
No.
I mean, I get the idea that he wants a long-term deal, and he probably wants it at least the same money, if not more. But you're making $16 million next year. Who is going to give you that money per year?
Nobody. It's not happening.
It's just not going to happen.
And this is the thing, like, we talk about, like, Wade's pissed off at the Heat, or they're at an impasse, and blah, blah, blah. And, like, that's fine. But both parties, in the end, are going to want him to come back. And if I'm Pat Riley, I just say, look, like, I understand you want to feel valued, but just take what you're getting now, the $16.1 million, and then whether we'll take care of next summer, and you will have a role with this organization for the rest of your life. And that way, they can enter next summer when he becomes a free agent, when Deng becomes a free agent, because he's not doing it this time. And they can go and chase some superstar and chase whoever's out there and see if they could reload yet again and bring Wade back and make another title run. I just think that should be the plan if you're the Heat. And the fact that Deng opted in, it helps them to have as much flexibility next summer as they can. And I just think that's what you have to sell Wade on. And I understand that he thinks, well, he's sacrificed money in the past and he just wants to make the maximum that he possibly can. But I think one way to make the maximum he possibly can is to take that $60 million
right,
and summer sign with bird rights after they sign other people, you know?
Yeah, and even, you know, you stay with the Heat, you don't piss off Pat Riley, you don't piss off Mickey Arison. By the way, you'll probably be a part owner as soon as you retire.
You could be a part owner. You could be, like, you just look at the people who work for the Heat, like, as broadcasters.
I mean,
in the front office.
Like, I roll my eyes at the whole Heat lifer thing because I think it's a – I'm not a fan of, like, the new marketing with a lot of NBA teams. But people buy into it, and he – you know, he and Udonis Haslam, so whatever that means, but he, like, embodies that.
Yeah. And that's what he said all along, is he wants to spend his career there, and they want that too.
Yeah, I mean, he is the face of the franchise.
Oh, yeah. So that's why, like, I find it really difficult, like, when we read about, like, the, oh, there might be a mutual interest with the Lakers. Like, I get that he needs some sort of leverage.
Right.
But I can't picture that.
Yeah, and
I mean, just can't.
He'd have to take the mid-level exception if he's going to, like, that's the max he'd get from the Cavs, right?
Yeah.
You're going to have 16. I mean, I guess if you want
to. And it's like the, not even the, like, it's like the taxpayer mid-level exception.
Right, yeah. So if, I mean, it's possible he wants to win a ring that badly, but that's what you're going to do?
He's won them.
Right. I just don't, see it. All right, let's talk about the Knicks situation.
This is fun.
Woj just tweeted that sources say, the Knicks are the front runners for both Aaron Aflalo and Greg Monroe. I don't think those are bad signings. I would like to see the money first, but if that's...
I'd very much like to see the money.
Yeah, if that's what ends up happening, that's fine. Like, I think Aflalo is better. Well, I'm in a weird place with Aflalo. I don't think he was as good as he was, or as his numbers show, in Orlando. I certainly don't think he's as bad as he was in Portland.
Yeah, I mean, the Portland situation was weird. Like, I thought that was going to work out a lot better. And then before it had a chance to get that much better, he got hurt again. And it's like, I don't know. I think he can be a pretty good defender. He probably won't be the defender that he had the reputation for years ago.
Right.
But he can be a pretty good defender, and he can shoot threes, and he can create a little. And I think he's the sort of player that Phil Jackson always wants. It's like these smart guys who can play with or without the ball, who can create a little bit, and I think he would fit. I wonder how much they're going to pay him or offer him, at least. And you know, if so, let's say they have a team that's like Jaren Grant / Calderon, Melo, Aflalo, Monroe, Porzingis. Like, what is that? Is that maybe a fringe playoff team because of the way the East is? Like, the Nets made the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing I look at is I think Charlotte will be improved. I think Detroit will be improved. But, like, that Nets team just made the playoffs. That team has talent, but they weren't a good team. So
they were far from a good team.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me if this Knicks team, I mean, I wouldn't say, like, oh, they've got Monroe and Porzingis and Carmelo. Like, I don't think Porzingis is going to start.
Well, you don't
think
he's going to do anything for a while, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
he
I think
probably won't start.
I think it's at least a year.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I don't think that's a bad thing by any means. But even if he's a rotation guy, like, you do need more than that. You need a bench, and obviously they'll go after role players to fill out the roster. But I don't think it's a bad start. I mean, I'm not a huge Monroe guy, but... You know, I think I'd rather take a chance on him than the idea that they go get David West, right?
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing, is that West is, like, the report was that he's likely to sign with the Knicks and that he sort of knew he was going to do that before opting out with the Pacers. And I was just thinking, like, why do you prefer that
to
Indiana? But sure.
It's the idea of, like, all right, you're leaving Paul George for New York and Carmelo, which doesn't necessarily seem like a good idea. And but I still, like... I don't think leaving that Pacers bunch is a bad idea by any means.
If I was leaving them, I'd go somewhere I thought I had a better chance to win. And maybe if the Knicks add all these guys, they'll have a comparable chance to win.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess, like,
it's a weird move for a 35-year-old to me.
True. If they added, maybe he just loves New York. If they added Monroe, West, and Aflalo, like, let's say they can get all three of those guys in, that's not a bad start in five.
They're suddenly so different.
They still have Jose.
They're suddenly like a veteran team,
right? They still have Jose Calderon, and you know he's whatever on defense, but he's still a good offensive player who can knock down shots. And
well, the entire team is going to be whatever on defense. That's the problem we're talking about. It'll just be, if this is the team, like, if these are the signings they're making, like, Monroe isn't protecting the rim. Like this will be a disaster defensively, but they could be a really good offensive team.
Right, and I just think like that's probably all you need to make the playoffs in the East, right?
Yeah.
You don't need to have a complete attack by any means.
But is that what you want? Is that what you want, to just sneak into the playoffs with some sort of veterans? And
I mean,
maybe.
Yeah, I think you have to show progress, and it's not about like, oh, they've built something. But I think moving forward, you have to, you know, they'll still have a chance to add another big name player when the salary cap jumps up, right?
Yeah,
like maybe not a max player, but a big name player. You just got to show that you're heading in the right direction, and then it's New York, you know, like oh, Carmelo's still good or whatever, you know, however you want to feel about him, but. You don't have to show like we're a title contender now. Look at us after one year. It's just look, we're not the punchline anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's essentially the game plan this summer, is to not be the punchline anymore when the season starts. And if these are the things that they're chasing, and then if they can get a couple of them to sign up, then I think they'll probably be successful with that. I just think the question then is, where is this all going, and like can they keep adding guys every summer to build on it, or is it just going to be kind of like the way Melo's career has sort of been, is you get to the playoffs and like cool.
Yeah, maybe that's all it is. here's something. The Cavs were, granted this is a much different situation with than what the Knicks will be, but the Cavs were 19th in defensive rating last year, made the playoffs in the East. Raptors were 22nd, made the playoffs.
Well, and the Raptors in the second half of the year were like at the bottom.
Right. Nets, 23rd, made the playoffs. So it really doesn't take that great of a defense to...
No.
You just can't be what the Knicks were last year.
Yeah, no one should have to see that again.
Right. So, yeah, so I mean, it doesn't really take that much.
Things are certainly sounding a lot better than they did a week ago. But I do think... I'm still only cautiously optimistic about the whole thing, because I think it might just end up with a bunch of veterans and like kind of them back in the mill.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like I just think you have to show some progress. That's progress.
Yeah.
Now it depends on what the money's going to be for all these guys, but you're headed in the right direction. As long as you're not the laughing stock of the NBA anymore, that's a good first step, and then you start building upon that. Like you still have to keep building, but you just can't be the punchline anymore.
I'm really intrigued with what'll happen with Monroe, because I like him as a player, but I think he needs a specific fit, and there are a bunch of teams interested in him. And there was an article, he did an interview with the New Orleans Advocate, and he was almost like campaigning for the Pelicans to come after him. And that's a team that I haven't seen linked to him at all, but he's from there. And I thought him next to AD, that could be kind of cool.
Well, yeah, but, you put him next to AD, and that's a hell of a combination.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not sure that there's interest there, and I'm not sure, like, if they want to run, maybe they don't even want to add a guy like that. I don't know.
Yeah, they probably have to move somebody, because they only have, it looks like they've got maybe $10 million. In cap space.
Yeah, something would have to give.
Yeah, something has to give there. But if they moved Ryan Anderson and his $8.5 million, well, then you start, you know, then maybe that could be a situation that works.
Yeah. But, you know, he's talking about them, and, like, the Bucks have a meeting scheduled with him, and I thought that could be kind of cool, because everybody else on the team is good at defense and long and can switch and stuff. So... maybe that's a good fit for him, because their offense was really bad and he could help there. I don't know. And it's just like, okay, so the Knicks, and like he's supposed to meet with the Lakers, because they're supposed to meet with everybody who's big. I can't possibly call where he'll land.
Right.
I understand that the Woj report said that the Knicks are the front runners, and like, okay. Maybe that's where we have to lean now, but I just am really intrigued with what the number ends up being for him and the fit that he chooses, because he's been a guy that, you know, he's kind of sort of wanted out of Detroit for a while. I think he was going to give the Pistons a chance to convince him to stay, but I think they've just kind of moved on already.
And yeah, I don't even think he was given the chance. I think he just had to spend a year there.
Yeah, maybe that was it. But he's been a consistently good player the whole time. It's just he's also had some weaknesses in his game, and he'd never really had the right roster around him to maximize what he could do. And it's like now he's free. He can choose his next team, and it'll be – I'm just curious to see what he prioritizes and if he's going to end up at a place that lets him be that kind of – I mean, if it's in the East, like maybe he's an all-star type player. I don't know. He's skilled enough, but he's got to be in the right situation.
Yeah, I mean, last year he was almost 16 points a game, 15.9 points a game, 10.2 rebounds, 2.1 assists, made 49.6% from the field. I mean, he's got skills. He's a bad defender, but you can work with that. Yeah. I don't like the fit in LA at all. I do like the idea of him with the Knicks, though. I'm not sure I like the idea of him in Milwaukee. Mostly because I don't think you can go small with him.
Yeah. But their small isn't really small. Like, but if you're going, but everybody's long and...
Yeah, but if you're going with him and Jabari Parker as your 4-5...
Yeah, but if you have Middleton and Giannis at the 2 and 3, they're sort of 4s as well. It's sort of like what the Warriors do.
Yeah, but the Warriors don't have 2 minuses on the floor defensively.
True. It's different.
Yeah, it's different.
I'm just kind of like, this is intriguing. I'm not necessarily saying it'll work. I'm just saying it's intriguing.
I just like the versatility of their small ball lineup, and I don't know that you get that with him, but it's possible. I mean, Jabari Parker's a minus now, but in 2 years he could be a plus defender. We don't know.
Yeah.
Or even if he's just neutral, then, you know, that works. And if Monroe can get to the point where he's neutral, that works. I would love the idea of him actually playing with Zaza. The big-to-big passing on that would be fun.
There would be a lot of big-to-big passing.
Yeah. All right, who else do we have? We have DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah.
Is he really going to leave the Clippers?
Is he just going to put a dagger in that team and that franchise? That it would destroy them.
They'd be screwed. I mean, they'd be screwed for at least this coming year.
Yeah.
You can make a move a year from now when the cap jumps, but the next year would just be, man, that would be deflating for them.
I would, if I was Doc Rivers, I would do anything to keep him. I'll be your butler for a year, DeAndre. That's what I will do.
All right. What if DeAndre says, within a year, I want Chris Paul gone?
Ugh. Yeah, that I might not do.
What if he says, I want Blake doing, you know, Buick commercials?
Oh, I would. Yeah, I don't want Blake doing Buick commercials.
What if he wants Jamal Crawford to shoot nothing but threes?
I would like Jamal Crawford to shoot nothing but threes.
What if he wants Austin Rivers starting? Well, I guess Doc would do that.
I'm like, I wouldn't do that, but I guess if I was Doc, I would do it.
So the Mavericks are reportedly the favorites to land DeAndre. He's gonna meet with the Knicks, the Lakers, the Mavs, and the Clippers right away.
Mm-hmm. Was there another team?
Maybe was there it was the Bucks? Team. Maybe the Bucks are in there.
The Bucks are my favorite sleeper destination for him, but I just kind of don't believe that he's gonna go to the East Coast under any circumstances. So yeah. I'm not sure. They're my favorite sleeper because I think it'd be really fun, but I don't think it's likely.
Man, replacing Tyson with him in Dallas would be, that's interesting. And then if they, like, let's say they go out and get Danny Green.
Yeah.
That's not
or
bad.
Matthews or somebody like that. Yeah, I mean, that's an automatic, like, just a huge upgrade at a couple of spots if they can pull that off. I think.
Still need a point guard, but.
Yeah. I love Beverly there as a point guard, but I don't, they can't get everybody.
Right.
I love Tyson Chandler, but to get a guy that's like, what, 6-7 years younger, more? I don't know. That would obviously be huge. He would just be such a good presence in there, and he could, you know, we don't know what their backcourt is going to look like at all, so it's hard to totally project with this team. But I think if you're Dallas and you can just sign him, max him out, you just gladly do that and say we have our center, and then we go from there. But I think you're right. Like, they need to get somebody like a Danny Green or a Wesley Matthews or a Damari Carroll or somebody to come in and play on the wing. I'm not sure if all of those guys are that realistic. I kind of still see Green staying in San Antonio, but we'll see. It's always interesting to watch what Dallas does. They're kind of like Houston. Like, they just end up getting meetings with everybody, and Mark Cuban's always trying to do the biggest thing possible.
Who wouldn't want to play for Mark Cuban? He's one of the best owners in sports.
Of course.
Like, everything's first class with him. Like, I get why they get all those meetings, and especially, like, you win the title in 2011. Sure, Dirk's not what he used to be, but once an organization has, like, especially a recent title, you can kind of start seeing, like, all right, I can see us working our way back to that.
Yeah, and it's easy to, if you're a player and you look at the way this team is being built, it's easy to sign up for a year or two of Dirk making the money that he's making. Like, it's not the same as...
Yeah, he's getting, like, seven, eight a year or something like that.
Yeah, it's not the same as the Kobe thing where, like, it's like, well, do players want to play with Kobe? It's like, I mean, I think players might want to play with Kobe more if they weren't paying him, like, $1 zillion and could add other people around him. And Dallas has put themselves in a position to do that.
Yeah, I still want Jordan on the Clippers. I like that.
Yeah, I would. It would be a bummer to just see Paul and Blake running around, like, doing the best they can and just not having a hope of being a realistic contender.
Yeah, because that would, man, I mean, I wonder who they could even go get at center.
I have no answers.
Maybe Tyson Chandler would take a pay cut and go there, but they can only offer, what, the mid-level exception?
Yeah.
Or no, they're like hard capped, aren't they?
They're
or close to. I mean, they don't have much money where they can.
It would be the mini mid level, right?
Mini mid level, yeah. Man, yeah. No, that's too much of a pay cut.
And I mean, Chandler could just say, "All right, I want to compete for a championship and go home.
Like, I want to be with Chris Paul again." Like,
yeah, I mean, that's actually, if they do end up losing DeAndre, I think that's I would love that. Yeah. But again, like, that's a short term fix. Like, you want to lock up DeAndre, and you want to resolve whatever problems he has. I think he enjoyed his moment when Blake was hurt, and he was putting up ridiculous numbers. And he'd like to be able to keep getting those touches and keep putting up those points. And maybe if you're Doc, you say, all right, well, we're going to run this many more pick and rolls for you this year or whatever. And I'm not sure the source of his problems with Chris Paul, but he reportedly has problems with Chris Paul.
I think Chris Paul is very difficult to play with.
That's possible. I mean, he's very demanding. We know
Do
that.
You know Chris Paul was the number one isolation defender this year?
I heard that.
Doesn't sound crazy? I mean, I think he's still a very good defender, and most people do, but, like, number one.
Incredible. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I just think the Clippers, if they just make a couple, like, if they end up getting Pierce or whatever, they can be right there where they were and just be a little bit deeper.
Yeah, they're not that far away.
And I think that's what you have to sell DeAndre on. And, like, yeah, you have to address the fact that he sort of thinks of himself as a star, and you want to convince him that he has a chance to do it there. But I think it might be tough if you have a team, like, if Dallas has enough of a plan to convince him you can be a star here and you can compete, then maybe that sways him and then maybe he leaves. I don't know. I mean, personally, I'm with you. Personally, I'd like to see him stay, but I think this is going to be, this is going to be Doc's huge test. Like,
right.
Doesn't matter how good of a coach he is. If he messes this one up as GM, then that's just derails their entire plan.
What else do we have? The Nets and Grizzlies talk to Joe Johnson deal?
Okay, so that would actually be really interesting.
I love it. I love it for the Grizzlies.
It's annoying because sometimes we only find out about this stuff after it's been discussed and
after
dead.
It's dead, yeah.
But, I mean, there was a trade machine idea that actually found.
Yeah, let's say there was a machine that could simulate trades.
Yeah, if there was that.
Out on the internet. So to get the money to work, the trade that I came up with on this fake machine, Jeff Green, Courtney Lee, Matt Barnes, Jarnell Stokes for Joe Johnson. Now, four players for Joe Johnson sounds like a lot, but you're getting a player who can create his own shot on a team that has struggled offensively. Not struggled, but they have limitations.
Yeah, and he can play defense. He's versatile.
Yeah, he's a good defender, even still. He could, even if you just had him as a spot-up shooter, he can do spot-up
shooting. I was going to say, like, he's a great spot-up shooter.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that...
Clutch shooter.
Yeah. He's gotten endless crap over the years, but it's like it's only because of the contract.
Right, yeah, that's the thing.
It's the
only
reason.
That even if, like, over the years, if he was paid $6 million less each year, how differently would we feel about him as a player?
So, he's going to be moved. He's in the final year of his deal. He's making, like, $25 million next year, which is funny. But whoever gets him, it sounds like it's not going to be the Grizzlies, even though I think that would have been a great fit. Especially for if it was a trade that looked something like that, where Brooklyn then gets like a bunch of guys who can play.
Yeah, they get a bunch of guys to play. They end up saving money on the deal.
And they get a young guy in Stokes out of it.
Yeah.
I think that whatever trade they end up doing will probably look something like that. But I also think whoever gets Johnson is going to be extremely happy to have him, because he's just been kind of languishing in Brooklyn for a while. And he's had his moments, like he's had a couple of huge games and game winners and stuff. But I think if he's in a different situation, like if he was somewhere like Memphis, I just think that would be, it would change completely the way he's kind of thought about and talked about.
Yeah, I agree with that. Do you think, the Golden State Warriors have exercised their team option on Maurice Spates. How about that?
There it is.
They
Spates
announced that.
Cowboy will write again.
Yes, he will. Do you think that when there's a pool party, Kevin Love finds out about it and shows up to see LeBron's reaction? Do you think Kevin Love was invited in the first place? Do you think Kevin Love just accidentally showed up? What do we think about this pool party?
Why are you treating him like he was like Kendrick Perkins on the Thunder?
Well, he needed to learn how to fit in because he was doing too much fitting out, whatever
fitting
that
out.
Means.
That's totally a thing. I don't know what you're talking about. I use fit out in my daily conversation.
It's weird that he would be the Kendrick Perkins of a team that has Kendrick Perkins.
That has Kendrick Perkins, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, anything's possible. Look, I mean, he's coming back, right? Can we just say that?
I think it's like 95% sure he's coming back.
I want to go 98%.
Okay.
I'm just taking that extra 3%.
Sure.
Wasn't that a book? What was Jonah Carey's book?
The extra 2%.
Okay.
That's an excellent book, by the way.
So I'm gonna say, you know, I'm gonna stick with 98%. Kevin Love has no reason to go anywhere right now, unless he really hated Cleveland, or unless he's just really dying to be the number one guy. I just don't get the point of it. So there was a report today saying, you know, he's extremely likely to stay, and opposing teams think that's going to happen. Honestly, and until I see a report that he is not only taking meetings with other teams, but is, like, seriously mulling this offer, then, like, I'm just kind of almost tuned out of the Kevin Love situation. I'm just like, he's the Cav. They want him back. He wants to be there. He and LeBron don't hate each other. In fact, they hung out at a pool. So, should be fine.
Have you ever hung out at a pool with someone you don't like?
Never. Have you?
I'm trying to think if I have. I'm sure I have.
I mean, I don't do much hanging out at pools, though.
Well,
I don't live
you're
in Miami.
Yeah, you're in Toronto. They don't have pools in Toronto.
They're illegal. No, we have pools there.
Yeah, but they're frozen.
Not now.
How hot does it get in summer there? Don't give me a Celsius either. Give me a real temperature.
Oh, I don't know your crazy temperatures. It gets really hot here. It gets humid as hell. You'd be shocked. You should come here one summer.
I would love to go there. I would
what
love
is
to.
It?
I would love to hang out and take like the old.
Go to the CN Tower?
The Basketball Jones Tour. See where they did all their stuff.
Oh, I can show you that.
Yeah. All right, give me a temperature. I'm gonna try to convert it.
Okay, so like when it's pretty hot, it can be like mid-30s.
Mid-30s Celsius?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And then sometimes there's like, and then if it is that, then there will be humidity on top of that. Mind you, that's not how this summer has been. It's like just rained all weekend and it was terrible. But it gets humid usually.
So what's mid-30s? So 30 degrees, man, this is going to be some kind of embarrassing math.
This is terrible.
30 degrees Celsius would be like 80...
You have a computer in front of you.
83? Is that hilariously wrong?
I can't...
I'm going to look at... I've got a converter on my phone. How about that? All right. Celsius to Fahrenheit. This is riveting podcasting. All right, 30. 30 is 86.
That's hot.
Yeah, that's getting there. That's pretty hot. I mean, if you're adding humidity on top of that, it's definitely
I'm
hot.
Adding, like, lots of humidity.
Lots of humidity.
I don't really complain about it, though.
See, I hate the humidity. I don't mind
a
hot temperature.
That's the only thing you can complain about, though, so that's allowed.
That's true.
I whine about the winter through the entire winter, so I don't want to whine in the summer. That's how I see it.
I wasn't that far off on my conversion. That's not bad.
Look at you.
Yeah. And I don't even know the four. I think it's like 9/5 or... Is that 9/5?
You're ahead. Stop. You're in line for a max contract.
All right, so if we're talking mid-30s, that's 95 degrees. Yeah, that's hot.
That doesn't happen often.
And you guys don't have any pools at 95 degrees.
We do.
Okay.
You're the one that said we didn't.
I thought you confirmed that.
Absolutely not.
All right.
My sources will never confirm that.
So what are you saying? Kevin Love's going to go to Toronto for pools? Or?
Yeah, and then Kevin Durant's going to come in 2016.
Although
actually he's not anymore, because Gravis Vasquez is
buddy. Yeah. Gravy's gone.
So Durant's going to go to Milwaukee.
Right. He definitely wants to go to Milwaukee. I do wonder how much
Durant
this Durant stuff is going to...
Hold on, Zach.
Oh, God.
No, I'm sorry.
Are we still... I almost said something that was going to really upset the
internet.
I know
what you were going to say. I'm glad you didn't.
It's really going to upset our listeners. So I won't ask if we're pretending Giannis is good.
Don't.
No, I'm saying I'm not going to ask that. I'm not going to ask if we're pretending that
winter
Giannis
ice.
Is twice the player that he actually is. No, I'm telling you, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, because that would start a whole thing. Toronto fans don't believe they don't actually believe Durant's going there, right?
Not anymore.
Okay. Was it really great? Gravis Vasquez was like the selling point? Like, hey, we've got your friend?
That was part of it.
But now they have Bruno, so they don't need...
Got the Brazilian Kevin Durant.
Yeah. Or...
Part about that is...
Oklahoma City has the American Bruno Caboclo.
That's true. My favorite part is that's actually what Lucas Nogueira calls him. calls him my Brazilian KD.
If you guys listening at home have that that old Instagram app...
Oh, wow, yeah.
I definitely recommend following Lucas Nogueira and Bruno on Instagram, because you open my eyes to this. They really do have some amazing Instagram hangout moments.
They are a riot.
Yeah, they're great.
There's one they did. It was really, it was almost scary a couple of weeks ago, where they did, like, I guess they called it a fishing dance. But, like, it was... Like, Bebe was, like, reeling Bruno in, and he was, like, on the floor in the Raptors locker room, like, kind of doing the worm. it looked like it might have hurt.
Sure.
Very entertaining, though.
Okay. I think that's gonna be a great way to recap, or to cap off our free agency talk.
Wait, it was... Okay, so...
Do we have anything?
I needed to make up a fake rumor.
What's your rumor?
My rumor...
And a rumor can't be like, oh, I predict this. It's like, this is happening.
This is happening?
Yeah. Sources say. You have to start out with sources say.
Sources say.
Wouldn't sources say be the worst version of Simon Says?
Oh, my God. That should definitely be a game.
Someone's going to come up with that, like, just... That's probably like an SB Nation
trademark
thing where
they come up
with sources say... game, and you have to like match up the transaction or something, some crap like that.
As soon as you get off the Skype machine, you need to trademark that thing.
I do.
Okay, my fake rumor, and you have to give me feedback on this,
okay.
Is that Eric Bledsoe has actually demanded a trade because he just can't handle the Morris twins anymore.
Oh, he's freaked out by twins. I'm on board with this. I take back every bad thing I said about Eric Bledsoe.
He's freaked out.
Twins.
He's just like,
they make him uncomfortable. He doesn't like that they gang up on him in the locker room. They're bigger than him. He feels intimidated. So he's forcing a trade to Sacramento.
Oh, to Sacramento.
He wants to be Boogie's wingman.
Ooh, I love that.
And Vivek has come out and said he's anti-Twins.
Sources say Vivek is also freaked out by every Twin.
I'm kind
of
hoping...
Also, like, of all the Twins, like, they have matching tattoos, like, all over their bodies. They drive the same car.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot for Eric Bledsoe to handle.
It's too much.
And he's put up with it for a couple of years now.
It's not okay.
It's enough.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely not okay. And so here's what I'm hoping happens. This is like a game of telephone happens with this rumor, and it actually ends up on Hoopsype. That's going to be my goal with this new feature of ours.
Sources say. Sources say that Hoopsype will pick up everything.
All right.
Float here.
All right. Well, that's going to do it. That was some good free agency.
I feel like a free agent. I feel like I'm the master of my own destiny.
Yeah, absolutely. James, we can follow you on Twitter at Outside the NBA. Hey, do the whole subscribe review thing on iTunes or whatever other stuff might allow you to subscribe and leave a review.
Be happy, enjoy.
Yeah, like us on Yelp. We're not on Yelp. No, but maybe someone could put us on Yelp.
I'm sure somebody could.
Yeah, that's not asking too much.
Okay, so somebody put us on Yelp and then get a friend to like us.
Right. And watch that Wimbledon, cuz I'm going to have all kinds of puns and jokes. And get ready for the daily supermarket sweep hour.
Yes.
That's my pitch to everybody.
All right, I'm going to come with some like awesome Wimbledon takes next time. I haven't seen any so far.
Well, I believe that you will figure it out.
Yeah, I understand tennis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, James.
Thank you, Zach.